Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be talking about a lot of things today, a lot of active week this week in the gold and silver markets and everywhere else. And we'll be talking about those items today. Maybe we will recap the week. On Friday, April 19th, 2013, let's get right to the gold market today, the gold prices today. They started out a little bit to the strong side, and they hit them, but we're still around that 1,400 level. Gold up 850 at 1,401. Silver, just down a few pennies today, down 11 at 23.27. Platinum was up 3, 1,432, and we have palladium up 8 at $681. USDX today, that reversed a little bit today. It was down earlier. That was up 0.16 at 82.73. Crude oil was about 87, close to 88 today, up about 20 cents, and I actually got gasoline today, and I was actually a little surprised to see gasoline at $3.40 here in central Pennsylvania. And, we get surprised, and we think it's great that we see gasoline at $3.40, but it's still compared. But to me, it's still high, but not as high as when it's $4. Anyway, let's get to the markets today. I hadn't had a chance to follow them. World markets were, they all did well. Overnight, the Dow was up almost triple digits earlier, and it's only up 10 right now at 14,547. NASDAQ was up a little bit stronger, about 1.25%, 3206. S&P 1364 at 1555. The 10-year 170. And they took away my euro, but I saw that was around 130 earlier in the day. Don't think there's a lot of change there. As the markets, I think we're just, I don't think anybody's paying attention to the markets, to the prices too much. I think all eyes are watching what is happening in Boston as we watch this play out for the manhunt for that second suspect in the Monday Boston Marathon bombing, and a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. And what say you, Al?
A lot of suspicions.
A lot of suspicions.
A lot of conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And Melody was talking to me before the program began, and she said, well, and she's tired of all the false flags, everything that happens. If a garbage can tips over, people are prepared to call it a false flag event. And Melody says she's tired of it all. It's not everything is a false flag, and that's true. We are eager to leap to those kinds of conclusions at times, and sometimes they're right, just like we talked earlier. But other times it gets carried away. Sometimes you're just dealing with a couple of idiot children. You know, it's not false flag, but it remains to be seen what's happening here. I don't know what this is. Are these two kids the perpetrators or are they the patsies? The way the world has been since the assassination of John Kennedy back in, 1963? We have become accustomed to conspiracy theories. We've become accustomed to sometimes the government does things that we know are wrong. 9/11. Who did that? It could not have been the Muslims. Those buildings were wired. They were not. Building 7 fell down and nobody even hit it. The only way it could have fallen down is if it were imploded. That means somebody planted explosives inside the building. It means that, and the government never bothered to look for them. All they said in their official reports, we don't know what's made Building 7 fall. They didn't even offer a credible explanation. So we wind up with an inclination to advance and accept conspiracy theories. And we do that because we've lost confidence in the government. Mm-hmm. We don't know whether the government's telling us the truth or they're not telling us the truth. We know. People who watch some of these events, you can't help but come away convinced that to greater or lesser degree, the government was complicit in some of the major events that have happened in this country. A lot of people believe that about the bombing in Oklahoma City that goes back to, I believe, 1995. A lot of people believe it about the Twin Towers and Building 7 and the strike on the Pentagon in 2001 on 9/11. We don't trust the government anymore. And this is not simply because we have lost our marbles and we're all crazy people. The truth is that our government has caused us to lose our distrust with things like the Warren Commission. What really happened to John F. Kennedy? Does anyone really know? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the truth of the matter is. And the same thing with these other kinds of stories. We see them. We know the government lies some of the time, and insofar as they lie some of the time, they lay the foundation for some people believing they lie every time. And to believe they lie every time isn't true, but nevertheless, government has laid that foundation. What, Melody? What do you think?
Well, also, you know, it's the reporting and the media. I mean, it used to be at a time where, you know, the consensus was they were trying to bring you the real facts.
I agree.
And so it's just not the government. Yes, I do believe there's a lot of false flags. I do believe there's a lot of things that are distorted and we are misled. And what happens afterwards? You can't let an event go wasted. I mean, we've heard that. You know, it's been quoted by several people. Hillary Clinton.
Crisis is a terrible thing to waste.
Crisis is a terrible thing to waste. So a lot of things that come from this. So, yes, there's all these things, and not just here in the States, but all around the world where you have these situations that arise that they stir up their hornet's nests. And if you really follow the money, you'll always see that you put the dots together. It usually is because there's somebody making lots of money. There isn't an agenda. And that's just the way the world is. So, and we used to rely on the media to think that they're bringing us a story and that they were in search of the truth. And that maybe it wouldn't be 100%, but at least it would be far greater than what I believe
it
is today.
It would be honest. Intended. Yes. People make mistakes. That's understood. We at least assumed that the media at least intended to try to get to the truth. Mainstream media. Now, how many people think that's happening today? Can you count on maybe mainstream media to tell you the truth? They might make mistakes. I don't care about that. Or do you feel that the mainstream media are more likely to mislead you intentionally, to sell you a bit of bill of goods. I don't mind if people make mistakes, but there are forces at work. For example, we see that slogan, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. It's not, if somebody gets shot, it's not enough that we just have somebody shot. This becomes an opportunity. This is an opportunity for people to cynically exploit the deaths of children, for example. Sandy Hook Elementary. It's not bad enough that, what was it, 20 children died? I don't remember the number. That's not bad enough. We've got to turn this into an opportunity to advance the gun control agenda. When people exploit trouble, they don't just report it, they exploit it in order to make a point and move the country in a particular direction. Insofar as that tragedy is being exploited, we learn not to trust the people that are that are doing the exploitation. And the result is, again, you're more susceptible to conspiracy theories. And maybe the theories are right. Maybe we should be. But government wants to complain about them. If government wants to complain about conspiracy theories, first order of business is, why doesn't President Obama just tell us what the real inflation rate is right now? Why doesn't President Obama tell us the real unemployment rate? Why doesn't he tell us the true size of the national debt? Insofar, if you look into this kind of, into these subjects, you discover there is plenty of evidence to suggest that they are lying about primary economic indicators, and they do it all the time. And once they start lying and you know they're lying, how can you trust them? Where do they tell the truth? So, I was watching Nigel Farage, the English member of European Parliament and the founder of the United Kingdom's Independence Party, and he was at the European Parliament and castigating some of the individuals there and just telling them, calling them crooks. You're criminals. All right? You're a bunch of damn criminals. And you listen to this Englishman speak. I can't help, and many of you people probably haven't even heard the name Nigel Farage. Maybe you have, but he's classic English, all right? This guy's classic. He could have played the butler. He could play the prime minister. He can play the part because he has an incredible ability to speak. And I listen to the man, and I'd say he's been trained to speak in public since he was a child. He's a brilliant speaker. And he speaks truth to power. He will go up and tell them you're a bunch of damn crooks. And you watch the video of Nigel Farage again addressing the European Parliament. And you just can't help but wish, where is a comparable individual in this country who will speak truth to power and do it in a way that's articulate and that can be understood and comprehended by the average American? Nigel Farage is doing it in England. We don't have anyone doing it in this country, and I can only say I wish we did. Nobody's going for the truth in this country. Well, at least damn few. What else do we have, Melody?
Usually if anybody does speak out, they get thrown in jail,
it happens at times, but it depends.
But so that is an interesting week, and I find it having the whole town on lockdown, and in fact we got one question coming in that does say, Melody, I'm a little older than you, but I do not remember a whole city being on lockdown over one murderer. Yes. Just amazing how this is affecting hundreds of thousands of lives, and we're not sure how long this is going to go on. This is a 19-year-old kid, and the thing, what I was talking to Al prior to the program, the whole thing that I find the most, I don't get it, is when the one brother was killed last night. They say that the one that escaped had to drive over his body in the vehicle to get away. Now, here you're having a major shootout. How does a vehicle get away? I mean, didn't they follow it? Did they just let them drive away?
Yeah, you would suppose that there have to be helicopters with searchlights and the rest of that. How'd this kid get away?
How did he get away?
Yeah, I understand. This is interesting. I mean, I'm beginning to lose faith in the police state, Melody. You understand? I mean, if the cops can't even tie up some 19-year-old kid driving a car after a shootout, I don't know. What do you say? It's just becoming, it's nuts, and it's just crazy.
And at first I thought, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, well, you know, that's bad reporting. You know, that's one of those errors, you know. But I've heard it all day long, and I was watching CNN, and, you know, they're still flashing it down on the bottom of the screen. So you would think that after, you know, almost, you know, as long as it's been, because that happened at, what, about, I don't know, 10 or 1 o'clock last night, this early this morning, they would have at least taken it off the screen if it wasn't true. And it, you know, so it's just interesting. And
interesting, and it's how long? It's a real good question. How long will they keep the city on lockdown based on one killer? Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what if that kid has fallen in the river and drowned and his body is washed out to sea and we're never going to see him again? Who knows if he's even alive right now? If we can't find him in the next week or 2 weeks or month, are they going to continue to keep Boston locked down? This is part of this. This goes to the idea of government overreacting. I understand we've got to catch whoever is responsible for the bombings. I get that. But if you're down to where you believe you're chasing one 19-year-old kid, is it reasonable to lock down a whole city? Or is it evidence that the government is simply going too far, or the government trying to make a point? What's the meaning behind this? Anything? It's not obviously sensible. You know, if they saw him and they were shooting at him and they killed his brother, how far could he have gone? Going to shut down a whole city? I don't, this is not sensing, it just isn't rational to me, and I know these things, I understand that this is in the fog of war, and that's what this is to some degree. Crazy things can happen, you can lose control, you can lose sight of legitimate objectives and reason and so on, but this is just bizarre. Shoot to tie down a city for one 19-year-old kid. I guarantee that kid doesn't have any more bombs. He's not carrying bombs with him while he's making his escape. You got to be crazy. I can't say I guarantee it, but the probability that they have another dozen bombs in the trunk of the vehicle is not high. You know, if you're going to be a crook, you don't carry evidence of your crime with you. He doesn't have any more bombs. He may not even have any ammunition. Push comes to shove, he's going to probably die if he's not dead already. No reason. Where are we? You know, overreactions, hysteria. Not just among the people, among the authorities. Who's in control, Melody? Who's running this show? Anybody? It's like there's no ringmaster. The clowns just break out into the three rings, and they do whatever act they want to do, and here come the elephants and then the trapeze people, and they're all going at the same time. Anybody in control? Yeah, it does not inspire confidence. I know we can make more of this than it's worth, but it does not inspire confidence.
And another story that's pretty much being totally overlooked is the number of people who have died in the Texas farm town that had the fertilizer plant explosion. I guess there's, I think I've seen up to 12 folks have lost their lives, and 200 plus have been hurt. And so not a lot of oh, we're at our break.
Gee, how the
time
flies.
You're slipping.
I'm not slipping. You were the one who got caught talking when the break was supposed to be. I had stopped. See?
Oh,
you're the one who gets caught talking into the break.
Yeah, blame
but in this instance, Melody was responsible, and I deny all liability or culpability in this matter. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give Melody a call. She'll be back on the phones in about 35 minutes. You want to get some gold, want to get some silver, and you should. All right? Prices are, right now, perhaps as low as you're going to see them. No one can guarantee that, but perhaps as low as you're going to see them for the balance of your lives. You know, this is a good buying opportunity. This is a good buying opportunity, and people are doing that around the world for what it's worth. Here it is. Paper gold market collapses. This is from the China Daily Forum. This is a Chinese publication, but. Paper gold market collapses. Scarcity of physical gold for sale in Asia. Countries outside the U.S. axis of tyranny. This is not a pro-U.S. document, but regardless, countries outside the U.S. are only interested in physical gold, as opposed to the U.S. governments and their casino banking system, which politically punt on paper gold to deceive their own people and some unfortunate punters around the world. This is translated from Chinese into English, but I think they're making a point. People are buying physical gold, and according to some sources, there's a significant wave of activity and foreign countries as people are saying, yeah, give me that physical gold and I'm able to buy it at paper gold prices. People are jumping in. It may not be happening to the same degree in this country, but it points to a time where it will be happening in this country, and it really is. It's just not being reported perhaps to the degree that it's taking place, but time is right. Huh? Get some gold. Get some physical gold, not paper gold, physical gold. What else do we have, Melody?
And we should have a better word on come Monday as far as the availability of Silver Eagles. As we all know, the selling of Silver Eagles sort of came to a halt this week after the initial Monday opening and the drop of silver, the big drops on Friday and Monday. I've seen some offered for sale at very high premiums, and I just asked myself, why would anybody buy Silver Eagles just to buy them at the super high premiums? This all will settle through. They will become available again, and premiums will drop. The delay is going into this situation with the prices before they drop. There was already delays beginning to happen with Silver Eagles. The price dropped, so it just added to the problem, and you have sometimes when you get such a big backlog, you have to wait until it settles through. You have to let it all sort of get caught up before you know we can get back into the selling of Silver Eagles. And I think that's what happened to the wholesalers of Silver Eagles directly from the mint. Things were getting backlogged. The Treasury comes out each Monday, and they say we have this to offer. They only put up for sale what is actually minted, so the product is done and shipped. But even though the dealers, the direct dealers with the mint, place their orders on Monday, the price really isn't fixed until Tuesday. So you have that little bit of lag, which means, so I think Monday we'll have a better idea of what the Treasury has to offer, and then maybe we can get some more answers. But folks, you know, be patient. Don't go out and spend $7 premiums on Silver Eagles. I mean, do you realize how far silver can move up after the premiums come off and you basically be breaking the same? I'd rather pay a little bit higher price for the silver than I would to pay the premium. So, and you're going to hear a lot. There was one, Al, that I have to, you know, there's one who says, well, we'll lock in the price and we'll keep your payment in an escrow account. Well, whose escrow account? His? You know, until the product comes available. So if a product comes available, if delivery delays are, you know, 5 to 6 weeks, if you feel comfortable with just the wording of that, made me feel uncomfortable. But so be careful out there, folks.
What we're talking about is, I know that Melody doesn't sell coins unless she's got the coins. Right? A lot of people are selling coins and they don't have the coins. They don't have them to sell. This is not different from when you accept that promise. This is not different, fundamentally different from the idea of accepting a paper certificate. A certificate for, let's say, 100 ounces of gold rather than 100 ounces of gold. And it's the same thing, and it's part of what we try to, my opinion at least, on the program, we advocate from time to time. Don't take, learn to discern between a payment and a promise to pay. A gold coin, a silver coin is a payment. A promise to pay is a piece of paper. Most of the promises won't be kept. At some point in the future, the promises are going to break down. Those of you that are holding paper promises to pay, you're going to lose your assets. Those of you who took payments, not promises to pay, payments, which are gold and silver, you will be happy campers. Oh, yeah. Just as a general rule, you need to be careful if they're not going to send the coins for a couple of months. They don't have the coins. That's just the truth of it. They don't have them. It's like buying a car from someone, a dealer that doesn't have any automobiles out in his lot. You know, that it should be a little bit suspicious. It may be that it's quite all right. You'll get your coins in 2 months. The dealer doesn't have any Cadillacs out there right now. You'll get a Cadillac, but it'll be a week or two before you see it. Sometimes it's okay. I get that. But still, you are dealing with an increased level of risk. Now, what else have we got, Melody?
Here's a question from Richard. He says, if U.S. raises gold prices to $3,000 like in 1932, what would happen? Would food prices and et cetera rise or what? Would this do any good?
Well, if the price of gold goes up to $3,000, and I assume that it will sooner or later, we don't know when, but I assume it's going to continue to rise to $3,000, $5,000, maybe more. I don't know where it's going to go. But assuming the price of gold goes to that level, the big question is not whether gold goes to $3,000 or $10,000 or $100,000. The question is, what are the prices of other foods, commodities, goods, and services? Do they advance as much as gold? Right? In which case, all you're doing is preserving your wealth. Or does gold advance more rapidly than the others, in which case you're actually making a profit off your gold? Or, worst case scenario, the prices of other goods and services are rising, gold isn't. Now, I don't expect that to happen except perhaps for just a brief period of time. But it's all conceivable, and the point is, how fast does the price of gold rise in relation to other prices? If it rises as fast, you're preserving your wealth. If it rises faster, you're generating a profit in terms of you're having increased purchasing power. With paper dollars, on the other hand, by definition, and this is the big deal, this is a fundamental reason why you want gold rather than paper. If the price of gold moves from, say, $1,500 an ounce to $3,000 an ounce, it means that it implies that whatever the purchasing power of the dollar is today, if gold were $1,500 an ounce, whatever the purchasing power of the dollar is, by the time gold gets to $3,000 an ounce, in terms of gold, the paper dollar will have lost 50% of its value. It'll now take twice as many paper dollars to buy the same ounce of gold as were required when gold was $1,500 an ounce. This, you know, we don't know for a fact whether you're going to just preserve your wealth or if you're going to actually profit in the event that you hold gold and the price goes to $3,000 an ounce. But by definition, if the price of gold goes to $3,000 an ounce, the value, the purchasing power, the paper dollar, the fiat dollar, the digital dollar will diminish dramatically. And those of you that are holding your wealth in that medium will lose half your assets, half your purchasing power. And that's the fundamental reason why you want to say, oh, all right, put me into gold. Sign me up for some gold. Huh? Does that make any sense, Melody?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188.
Well, Jim from West Virginia has given us a call, and he'd like to say something on the program. So let's take his call right now and see what he's got. Jim, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. But you all said something about the media wants to try to do the right things. I'm going to give you some rapid fire. Okay, 1898, USS Maine was in Havana Harbor, blown from the inside out, photographic evidence. Basically, we wanted to attack Spain to kick him out of Cuba. But the bottom line is William Randolph Hearst and the other newspapers put out drawings of what happened, which was totally bogus. Photographic evidence showed it was blown from the inside out, not by mine. World War One. Who in the right mind would think the Kaiser Wilhelm would want to blow up the Lusitania to drag America into the war, which would wipe out the Germans? But the American people believed it, and that's what the newspaper said. The German government even put notices and ads, and I saw one of them in my mother's scrapbook, of don't travel the North Atlantic shipping lanes. Basically, the Brits are up to something. Fast forward to the 60s. My dad, we'd hear on the national news, oh, the commies blew up a church with people in it, some country somewhere in the world, or maybe murdered a village. My dad could pick up the phone, call any carve-out office. He's a Tier 3 user. If nobody else more important was using it, he'd call. He'd wait till that night and call over there. It never happened. Total fabrication. I would take it in 1969. I have a Nikon F, which I bought with my own money when I was a kid, when I was 15. Other kids bought cars. I bought cameras. I was deeply involved in photography. I was in the Charleston newspaper building. They showed me photographic evidence, Polaroid pictures of the back of a mechanical voting machine, patented in 1906, if memory serves. It doesn't always. And it showed how it could be, any race could be rigged to read the exact opposite. And a newspaper's reporter showed me this. He'd had it several years. And then, well, here, he said, "Want to hear the kicker?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." Kanawha County would not let us in to look in the back of the voting machine, much less take pictures to verify it under the classic rules of journalism. "You want to hear the real kicker?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "The people upstairs would not let us run the story that Kanawha and both papers, left and right, newspapers I had trusted, local ones, neither, they could not print the story that Kanawha County wouldn't let them look in the back of the voting machine." I cussed my way. And I turned down a full scholarship in journalism over this. I cussed my way out of that building, and I cried myself to sleep that night. There were two bubbles busted in my face, voting in our local newspapers. Not only that, but my dad got a copy of the patent, sent it to him, and the newspaper still didn't do it. I was so mad about that, I couldn't see straight. And the next day, my mother, who was always shoving books in my hand, "Here, read this," and sometimes I didn't read it. She said, "You do know that the town criers of old, before there's any print or broadcast media, had to answer to the wealthy merchants of the king, don't you?" I said, "No, I didn't read that." So Financial News Network came out. And I've mentioned this before. And I said, "Oh, goody." And Dad says, "Do some imaginary trades based on what they say. The mainstream media always lies. From the time I was a kid, oh, build bomb shelters. The Ruski is going to drop a bomb on us. And Charleston, West Virginia was ground zero because of the chemical industry. Oh, California, watch out. The commies are going to invade from China. Oh, we're going to run out of food by the 90s. Oh, we have going to have a nuclear winter unless we beef up our military, our nuclear arsenal, so they won't bomb us. Oh, let's see.
Well, what you're saying, I don't know if they've always lied. I don't doubt there's always been instances where they lied. It's a question of degree, point one, and awareness, point two. It may be that the mainstream media is no more inclined to deceive us today than it was 100 years ago. That's a possibility.
Right.
But it's a certainty that the American people, who were more deceived 100 years ago and probably trusted the media much, much more a century ago than they do today, we have lost trust in the media. Maybe we should have lost it 100 years ago, but we have lost it today, and that's the fundamental point. People don't trust it.
Yes.
Now, and my point is, this is in part due to just idiotic acts by government where they do things that are often just incompetent and stupid and easily perceived to be false. They stand up and they ignore what's happening, but people see through things like 9/11. Not everyone, but a lot of people, maybe a majority of people, see through and they understand what really happened there. Same thing with Oklahoma City. Same thing with the Branch Davidians to greater or lesser degree. And the government keeps pulling these stupid stunts and thinking they can get away with it. And all they're doing is destroying people's confidence in whatever it is government says. And when they lose that confidence, how do they hold control except with a gun?
The vote of confidence is gone. Well, what I'm trying to suggest to you is this, very, very simply. The mainstream media comes out and parrots what Goldman Sachs says about gold or whatever. But this has been going on forevermore, and I grew up outside of the matrix because my parents told me about all this stuff. I used to listen to shortwave from the time I was 10. But I have grown up outside of the matrix, but I do not trust the mainstream media. Matter of fact, I helped a reporter for a number of years. I sourced for him and verified stuff. I never got paid for it. I just wanted the truth out. There is a reason why they drink themselves to death. But at one time, I abandoned totally. I just gave up because I did my best. But we don't have a lack of reporting. We have an excess of editorship. And there was a gentleman who had a county newspaper which was honest, and he sold out to a puppet of a politician he had railed against while his wife was recuperating from a broken leg. It was not an accident. So there is a tremendous pressure. Anybody who has influence to sell has been bought. I can just say that.
Well, I agree, but the alternative and the remedy to that is Internet, at least to some degree.
Yep.
We're getting some truth on the Internet, and perhaps for the first time in American history. We'll see how it works out. We've got a break and take it. We've got a break and take some commercial announcements. We will be back in a moment. I'm Alfred Addis here with Mellett Cederstrom. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. I'm not sure if Jim is still on the line or not. Is Jim still here or is he not here?
I'm here. I cannot wrap up my little rant.
Go ahead.
Okay. We live in a time of false fears, all those fears of everything, weapons of mass destruction, pick a fear. False hopes. Oh, yes, this presidential candidate will fix it all. False promises, false promisers, false prophets, which are cursed and condemned in the Bible. You have to seek the truth. Wise men still do, because otherwise people will line up to lie to you. And that's why programs just like this and Bob Chapman's legacy are so important. Carry on.
Well, I agree. And you know, it's a wonderful and exciting thing to have the opportunity to at least try to get at the truth. You know, doing programs like this, for me, are great therapy. I get an hour a day when I at least try to tell the truth. I'm not telling anyone that what I say is absolutely God's truth, the rest of it, but I tell the truth as best I'm able to see it and understand it. And a lot of people live lives where we are compelled just by social convention, and they're trying to be politically correct or polite or not make waves, we wind up not saying what we think is true. And I think it's hard on people to tell lies. I think it's self-destructive to tell lies. And so I welcome the opportunity to do these programs. I mean, I think they help keep my head screwed on straight, just try to look for the truth, try to understand it, and try to communicate it as best I can. And it may be making mistakes, but I'm not telling lies. That's a blessing. What else do we have, Melody?
I was actually trying to find something good news. I mean, it has been a very emotional couple of weeks with the markets. We're so heavily involved. That was a roller coaster. We have everything else that's been a roller coaster. Very emotional, I believe. I don't know about you, Al, but I believe it has been for many folks out there, and myself included. And it's just very, very difficult. I can't even say the sun is shining here in Pennsylvania because we're having a thunderstorm. But,
well, that's good for you. That helps make plants grow. So
yes,
you look on the bright side.
Absolutely.
Get that electricity down into the ground. It charges the ground and causes certain chemical reactions that make minerals more accessible to the plants. And this is all to the good, Melanie. These are good days, you know.
But another disturbing story, though, today, and a lot of these stories with this going on, I didn't hear anything about the immigration. They were supposed to vote on that, I guess, today.
That's
true. The U.S. Boy Scouts, they laid out a proposal today to lift a ban on gay scouts, but they're going to continue prohibiting gay adults for participating in the 100-year-old American institution. So,
they're just, to me, that's just another attempt to be politically correct.
That's
for
correct.
Me, this is just lies and people afraid to tell the truth. Look, the homosexuals are a disease vector. There have been people who've studied this. The government stopped calculating life expectancy for homosexuals back in the 1980s when the AIDS epidemic broke out. And the argument was if they calculated mortality statistics associated with homosexuals, people have realized that they are losing perhaps 20 years of their life to embrace that lifestyle. And they didn't want that because they were afraid the bankers wouldn't lend them money to buy a house because they'd expect them to be dead before they ever paid off the mortgage. That was the excuse. So they stopped tracking the mortality. So far as I know, to this day, there are no official mortality figures on how long you live if you are a homosexual. But there have been people who've studied the issue who've come to the conclusion that you're going to lose, even now, you're going to lose 10 to 20 years of your life to embrace that lifestyle. I call it a death style, not a lifestyle, a death style. It is a form of slow suicide. And some homosexuals say, oh, that's hate speech. No, it's not. I'm warning you that your damn lifestyle is going to kill you. And I'm warning people that those who embrace the homosexual lifestyle, you are effectively committing a kind of slow suicide. We would be more responsible to teach our children to smoke tobacco or chew tobacco, because it only, on average, will probably only cost them about 5 years of their life, where the homosexual lifestyle will cost them 10 to 20 years of their life. It is irresponsible and wrong. And yet here we have the Boy Scouts. You know, I was a Boy Scout years ago, a long time ago, of course, 50 years ago now, something like that. More than that, really. But I was a Boy Scout. I'm trying to remember the motto. It had something to be brave, something untrustworthy or something. I don't remember it anymore. Apparently, it's not only me who's forgotten the Boy Scout motto. It's the people that run the Boy Scouts. Somewhere along the line, somebody in the Boy Scouts should be able to tell the truth. And instead, they're playing a game that we're not going to let adult homosexuals in, but we will let, you know, young homosexuals in. And I don't mind if you do. I don't even mind if they do allow the homosexuals in, but it has to be understood that this is not a lifestyle choice. It's a death style choice. Those of you who want to be homosexual, go ahead and do it. I don't care. No skin off my nose. If you want to engage in conduct that's going to shorten your life by 10 to 20 years, that's your business. I won't say you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying don't ask me to lie about it and pretend that the people engaging in that lifestyle are just as pure as the driven snow, and it's a wonderful, you know, just a wonderful option. It's a good way to get yourself killed. We've got people that are trying to eliminate the right to keep and bear arms. Over 20 kids have died in Sandy Hook. All right? Tragedy. I get that. But nevertheless, we go through all this hysteria based on the deaths of 20 children, and nobody wants to talk about the fact that the homosexual lifestyle will shorten your life. Nobody wants to talk about it. And they say, we're doing this for the safety of the children. Bunk! Half of what our government does right now is for the destruction of this nation. And this is just another example supporting this, you know, and it, for me, it fits in with our earlier discussion about telling the truth. You know, you get an opportunity to tell the truth. Good, good, good. I like it. I like it. All right. What else have we got, Melody?
Well, you know, my question to that also is, how do 8-year-old little boys know? I mean, why is that even? It just, I mean, I agree with you. And it's like, why? I mean, how do 8-year-old little boys know they are?
I think it's part of the problem.
It's
youth doesn't know where they are, and they can be essentially twisted and perverted in one way or another because they don't have any solid foundation in what do they believe they are, what are they. They don't understand that there's points in life when they're malleable. And if you are left to the devices of someone who is homosexual, it opens the door to causing these children to embrace what they're told is a lifestyle. We have books. We have books, I'm told, where we got Bobby has two daddies. All right? Or Sarah has two daddies. I don't know what the name of the book is, but in any case, the idea is books that deal with children who have two homosexual parents. Somebody ought to communicate the message that those two homosexual parents are probably going to lose 10 to 20 years of their life expectancy because of their alleged lifestyle. Somebody ought to communicate that to them. Somebody ought to communicate that to the child. Someone ought to know that this is a bad choice. I'm not saying don't make it. I'm not saying. That's not my point. My point is if you're going to make that choice, tell the truth. All right, it's like putting a gun to your head and pulling the trigger, playing Russian roulette. Okay, you want to play Russian roulette, play Russian roulette. But let's admit up front that you can die from playing this game. That's what I'd like to see relative to the homosexual community at this time.
We have Joe from Arkansas calling us. I believe he's one of our regular callers. Good afternoon, Joe.
Yeah, good afternoon, Melody. On this issue that you're talking about, it's not really what I called about, but I would say that if there's anything in this whole universe, which is obviously a self-evident truth, is that normal sex is male and female. And if people can be made to believe that homosexuality is normal, then I think they can be made to believe anything at all, no matter how absurd it is. And what I really want to talk about, I wanted to make a few points about this thing that some alleged conservative and patriotic people are promoting that they call the fair tax, and what it really is, of course, is a 25% federal sales tax on everything we buy. And if they would call it a 25% federal sales tax on everything and ask people if that's the kind of tax that they look, you know, I bet people would say, hell no. But when they say, would you like to pay a fair tax? Oh, yeah, I'd like to pay a fair tax. And this seems to me a scam, kind of like the women's lib movement, you know, like Aaron Rousseau, the famous movie producer, said that he once talked to Nick Rockefeller. And Nick Rockefeller told him that Women's Lib was promoted, the propaganda for it, was that it would make women equal to men and make things fair for women because then they would be able to go out and work and have careers just like men and earn money just like men. But that the real purpose
and
of the whole thing...
And pay taxes just like men.
Yeah, was... There was half the population staying home, not working, and not paying taxes. They wanted to tax the women, too, just like the men. And so it seems to me the fair tax is kind of a similar scam. What they say is that half the people now aren't paying income taxes, and that's not fair to the people that are paying income taxes and carrying the whole load. Therefore, with the fair tax, everybody will be paying these taxes. But, of course, people that have looked into the income tax, like Bill Benson, proved that the 16th Amendment wasn't legally ratified, and patriotic attorneys like Tom Crier have found that, you know, they've said that they've studied the law very carefully, and most of the working people, you know, practically all the average working people in the country aren't really required to file and pay it. So nobody should really be paying the income tax. But here they're selling this fair tax on the idea that it's going to make things fair by having everybody pay the tax. And I think
But why have everybody pay the tax? Wouldn't it be even more fair if nobody paid the tax? I guarantee nobody paid the tax.
Yeah, and I think the fair tax must be unconstitutional because I'm sure Congress finds every possible legal way they can to tax us. And if a federal sales tax was constitutional and legal, then I'm sure we would have had it long before now. And the other thing is as I understand it, our founding fathers, you know, intended that the federal government would be supported by tariffs on imports primarily. That would be the main tax that would support the federal government. And that's what I'd like to go back to. And I know that Abraham Lincoln supported tariffs on imports, high tariffs on imports. And he said that this was a good taxing system because then the people that would support the federal government, bear the burden of supporting the federal government, would be those that were not so patriotic and wanted to buy things from other countries and weren't so interested in supporting their fellow Americans and their businesses and enterprises, whereas those that were more patriotic and supported the businesses and enterprises of their fellow Americans and bought American domestically made, they would not pay the tax to support the federal government. That's why Abraham Lincoln liked tariffs. So that's what I would like to go back to is supporting the federal government primarily by tariffs on imports. It would do our economy wonders.
What
we would have
today,
jobs and industry flourish in this country.
What kind of taxes do we have right now relative to tariffs?
Very low, I understand. You know, just about none. You know,
Why do we have low taxes relative to tariffs? It's in order to foster global free trade. And that what does that do? It drives our jobs overseas and pushes us deeper into, it diminishes our standard of living for the average man and woman in this country. The only people that are profiting from global free trade are the executives, stockholders, and multinational corporations that are manufacturing products in this country and trying to sell them overseas, insofar, or the ones that are importing products from foreign countries and selling them here. They profit from low tariffs. But the vast majority of the American people, we are being diminished, we are being robbed, we're having our standard of living cut, and while our government sits back and says, we're here to help you, and wants to find a new and improved way to tax us of what little wealth we have left. Joe, do you have anything to add? We've got probably about 15 more seconds for you, and then we have to go.
Well, I read Agenda 21 of the United Nations, which came out in 1992. And the first thing it talked about before it got into any of the environmental stuff, which people mostly talk about in regards to Agenda 21, is that the first thing on the agenda of Agenda 21 was that the developed countries had to get rid of their protectionist economic policies so that their wealth could be transferred to the third world. So I think that the reason we have free trade now with low tariffs and everything is because of Agenda 21.
All right, thank you, Joe. Appreciate your call. We're out of time, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, have a good weekend. May the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.